I got some new glasses and I was looking at stuff. 12:1-11. Therefore, since we are surrounded by such a great cloud of witnesses, let us throw off everything that hinders and the sin that so easily entangles. Let us run with perseverance the race marked out for us, fixing our eyes on Jesus, the pioneer and perfecter of faith. For the joy set before him, he endured the cross, scorning its shame, and sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. Consider him who endured such opposition from sinners, so that you will not grow weary and lose heart. In your struggle against sin, you have not yet resisted to the point of shedding your blood. And have you completely forgotten this word of encouragement that addresses you as children? It says, "My son, do not make light of the Lord's discipline, and do not lose heart when he rebukes you, because the Lord disciplines those he loves, and he chastens everyone he accepts as his child. Endure hardship as discipline. God is treating you as his children. For what children are not disciplined by their father? If you're not disciplined, and everyone undergoes discipline, then you are not legitimate children at all. Moreover, we have all had parents who disciplined us, and we respected them for it. How much more should we submit to the Father of spirits and live? Our parents disciplined us for a little while as they thought best, but God disciplines us for our good, that we may share in his holiness. No discipline seems pleasant at the time, but painful. Later on, however, it produces a harvest of righteousness and peace for those who have been trained by it. Therefore, that was 11, I guess. Pray with me. Heavenly Father, thank you for this time you've given us. Thank you for the beautiful day. And thank you for parents who disciplined us. And help us to use discipline in a healthy way and not to discipline in anger. And help us to be able to take the discipline you give us in life and be with Ron as he brings us this lesson. Have us know what you would have us do. In Christ's name we pray. Amen.
Thank you, Matt. You know, one of the things that sometimes happens to us as we study our Bible or as we try and learn more, we sometimes get a little bit numb to some of the analogies and metaphors of the Bible because we hear them over and over again. This analogy of a race may be one of those things. And so I want to try and have you, if you can, try and listen to this analogy that the writer of Hebrews is giving for the first time. Try and imagine how, and this really is a marvelous metaphor or analogy about how we need to live our lives, our Christian lives, as if we're on a long-distance race. And he gets to this point, he or she, we don't know who wrote this letter, we get to this point after chapter 11, which is the heroes of the faith, this great cloud of witnesses that surround us. We have to kind of understand the way the book of Hebrews is written. The first 10 chapters are all explanatory, explaining over and over again about how Jesus Christ is so much greater than, and he goes through so many different examples, he is so much greater than anything that we can possibly imagine. And he has done everything for us. And then we get to chapter 11, after all this explanation about the greatness and majesty of Jesus Christ our Lord, we then get to chapter 12, where he gives these examples of people who have stuck with their faith despite all the hardships that they encountered. And they are witnesses for us. And the witnesses that he's talking about here is their lives witness about their faith to us as a means of encouragement to us. And now, as we start into chapters 12 and then conclude in chapter 13, the writer to the Hebrews is now bringing it to conclusion his encouragement to stay firm in our faith and to stay focused on Jesus, to keep us so that we can stay firm in our faith to the very end. This is a letter of encouragement. Now, how many of you need encouragement from time to time? I mean, yeah, Matt, thanks for raising your hand. You need encouragement to come up here and read Scripture for us every once in a while, right? Great example. Thank you for that. And that wasn't planned, by the way. We all need encouragement. There are times, and I guess I normally don't do very much of this, but I'm going to confess a little bit of my own life and my own failure before you today. This is ever since July when I first got sick, and then my mother died, then my brother died a couple weeks ago. This has not been a very encouraging time in the last few months. But I am surrounded by you all. This, you are my great cloud of witnesses to support and encourage me. So thank you for this. And we need one another to support one another as we go along. And this passage also talks about discipline, and particularly verse 7, endure hardship as discipline. And then later on it says, because God is going to grow you through that and turn you into the people he wants through that. I remember when I got sick this summer and was medevaced out and then spent 4 days at Bartlett. Many of you have undergone medevacs and been down in the hospital. You know what it's like. Very lonely time. You pray and as all your family and most of your friends are here and you're down there alone or in Seattle or Anchorage, wherever. And yet you have a few people who come by, but yet it's still a very lonely time, isn't it? And I remember thinking during some of those times when I was down in Juneau, and I was praying, I was asking the Lord to heal me and to take away some of the pain, and his answer usually was, not yet. And sometimes, of course, you have your doubts and say, Lord, aren't you hearing my prayers? As the pain continues. And so then when I came home, there was a session meeting. I came home on a Sunday night. I came home on Monday, and on Tuesday there was a session meeting, and I wasn't well enough to attend it, but I was well enough to come over and ask for prayer. And I remember sitting there and being so emotional that, here, I'm the one who needs to be praying for all of you. I'm the one who needs to be a caregiver for you, and here I am asking for prayer. They laid hands on me and prayed for me, and it was a very humbling and emotional experience. And I realized in that moment that God had been using, and it's not the kind of hardship that the writer of the Hebrews is talking about, the people who have been suffered for and been persecuted for their faith. But still, in that little example of that hardship, I realized I have a lot to learn. In order to care for others, I need to be able to accept it myself. I also now better understand what it's like when I go to someone in the clinic who's about to be medevaced out, because having experienced it for myself. So those are the ways that God uses the hardship in our own lives, whether it's persecution or just sickness, to help grow us. And we need to look at it as a growing opportunity as God is working on us. Because we are in this race. I also thought about this last week when I went down to Albuquerque to do the funeral for my brother. And thank you for your prayers. That was a very difficult time. Also, it was a wonderful time. But the Lord bracketed that difficult time with joy at the beginning and the end. We went down, and on our way down, we stopped in Seattle. And our two oldest granddaughters were involved in a fundraiser. And so we went there to the fundraiser, and we went straight there from the airport so we'd get there in time. And they both had to march into the gym, and they had to stay in their lines. And, of course, Pearl, when she marched in, she saw us, and then she's too old, she had to pretend that you know, grandparents weren't there, she almost acted like she was a little embarrassed, right? You all understand that? Okay. But then Livia, when she marched, she had to stay alive, and she just almost couldn't do it. She couldn't contain herself. She was waving and smiling and just struggling to stay, but she didn't get out of line. And then after the episode in the gym, then there was a fun run. And so what they did, this was part of their fundraiser, and the whole school, they all started running by class, and they went around the block about, what, four or five times? And so as they're running, it was wonderful to watch. And we went down to the corner, and they first went in front of the school, and then they went downhill, then back across, and then had to come back uphill on the way back up to school. So Jackie and I positioned ourselves on the corner where we were watching them coming uphill as they were running. And, of course, it was a little more difficult, especially the third or fourth time around. And all the parents and a few grandparents were there encouraging those little children as they're running, kept encouraging them over and over again to continue, and what a great job they were doing. And there were some children, when one of them wasn't doing too well, they'd grab onto their hands and help them along. Now, what a marvelous illustration there at the beginning of that week of how what the writer of the Hebrews is talking about. It's like a long distance, or like a marathon race, and the last half mile or the last quarter mile is the toughest, when everybody has no more energy or reserve to go, and that's where the great cloud of witnesses is. They're all there encouraging, come on, you can finish strong. And many of us have been in those kinds of situations. And in a little way, we saw this in this fun run with our grandchildren. And the race that the writer of the Hebrews is talking about here is more like a fun run than a competitive race. We are there to encourage one another along. As somebody stumbles, we reach out and help them up, and we run with them hand in hand, as we encourage and love one another to fulfill what Christ has for us. And there's three things that the writer here really emphasizes. He says, we are surrounded by this cloud of witnesses. They are cheering us on, and they also provide us an example, a witness to what they have done in the face of major persecution. Let us throw off everything that hinders us. What hinders you today from being fully committed to Christ? What hinders you today from becoming the kind of man or woman that God has in store for you? What is it that you need to throw off to help you as you get down this final stretch? That's number one. He also points out it's something different. There is sin that entangles us. The sin in our lives, and all of us do sin, it entangles us from doing the job that God has in store for us. I was talking to a pastor just the other day, and he was talking about some difficulties that they're having in their congregation. We were conversing back and forth about it, and he was wanting some encouragement and some suggestions. And I suggested to him, I said, what is it? Why is it that you are listening to these things? And I pointed out to him, any of you read The Screwtape Letters by C.S. Lewis? Great book if you haven't read it. It's an example. It's written from the standpoint of an older demon, more experienced, writing to a younger one who is trying to interfere with a brand new Christian's life. And so the letters are going back and forth. And one of the things that Wormwood says is you don't have to get him to outright sin. You just need to get him to focus on something else. Divert his attention and keep it off the Lord. Well, that's what the writer of Hebrews is talking about here. Things hinder us. Sin impedes us. Sometimes just diversions happen that keep us from focusing on what we need to do. Think about your own life. Have you ever been in a situation where you've sat down and you start to pray, or and the phone rings? just a little diversion to keep you from, or you start your Bible study and you're really starting to meditate on a passage of Scripture and something interrupts it. Those interruptions are the things that hinder us from. And what we need to do, if you need to answer the phone, do so, but then come right back where you were and don't let it hinder you and interfere. So that's number one. Number two, we need to participate. Do you notice that? You got to get in the race. You need to run. How many of us start and then we just kind of stop, we get tired. We think, oh, well, I've been helping at the church now for umpteen years, and somebody else's turn, right? And so you kind of step off the sidelines for a little bit. No, you have to participate. And then we have to fix our eyes on Jesus. Fix our eyes on the goal. Jesus will be waiting there for us, welcoming us. Fix our eyes on him now. And it says here that he is the pioneer and perfecter of faith. Who knows what pioneer is? Any pioneers in Alaska? A pioneer is somebody who goes down a path, or actually there's no path, who cuts the path so others can follow, right? A pioneer is the one who blazes the trail, whatever metaphor you want to. He is our pioneer, and not only does he show us the way and make the road for us, he is also our example of how we are to follow and what we are to do with our lives. And he does that all for us as a matter of love. And he wants us to follow his example of love as we love one another. And I cannot stop thinking of those little children holding hands, running along together to help the one who is lagging behind a little bit. They didn't need to be told that. They just did it. The other thing that I found shocking in that same example was the school they go through goes from preschool up through eighth grade. And the eighth graders, those cool, you know how cool you get seventh, eighth grade? The eighth graders were encouraging and helping the younger ones. Okay? That's love. They didn't need to be told that. That's just what they did. We are to look and focus and fix our eyes on Jesus. He is the pioneer. He's the one who cuts the trail. He's our example and the perfecter of our faith. The Greek word that's translated as perfecter also means the completer. He's the one who completes and fulfills and makes our faith perfect. So that's why we focus on him. We focus on what he has done. He went through and accomplished and endured the most terrible hardships imaginable for us. So when we encounter small hardships, we can look to him and endure those because he has shown us that sin is not the answer. Evil is not the answer. He has defeated it. Consider him who endured such opposition from sinners so that you do not grow weary and you do not grow hard. You do not lose heart. And then he continues on in verse 4. In your struggle against sin, you have not yet resisted to the point of shedding your blood. Now, a lot of times when we think about, when in our struggle against sin, well, that's where I'm thinking very personally and, I've got this bad habit that I always keep doing and I'm struggling against it. No, that's not what he's talking about. In your struggle against sin and evil, this is outside forces. You have not yet got to the point of shedding blood. He's talking to the people, the church that he's writing to here. As he's preaching to them, he's saying, you all have been persecuted, but none of you have yet shed your blood. No one has been martyred yet. That's what he's talking about. The struggle against sin is, yes, evil forces have persecuted them. It is tough. But you have not yet suffered martyrdom. And that may be coming. And how can they go through that if their church suffers that? By focusing on Jesus, the pioneer, the trailblazer, the completer, the one who is waiting for us. He is at the finish line wherever all this great cloud of witnesses, they have finished, and they're there encouraging us to complete and finish the race. And as we go through difficult times, as things seem almost impossible for us sometimes, we need to endure those hardships, knowing that that is God's discipline for us, which produces a harvest of righteousness and peace for those who have been trained for it. The Bible does not promise that things are going to be easy for us. The Bible never says, well, if you come to Christ and you become a Christian, it's going to be easy street from that point on. There will be difficulties. There will be trials. But God promises that He will be with us through all of those. If we focus on Jesus Christ and on what He has done for us, the love that God pours out on us always, and if we share that love with others, and if we surround one another with our presence, which is the presence of the Lord Himself, then we can all complete the race. Throw the things off that hinder you. Set aside those sinful behaviors that impede your progress. Get back in the race and run, and keep your eyes on Jesus. This metaphor of a race is a very good one. It's a long-distance race. It's not a sprint. We talk about our spiritual journey. Sometimes we talk about, you know, that we've always got to keep going uphill, or we backslide. Whatever metaphor you want, keep your eyes focused on Christ. Think about the love of God through Christ that He has poured out for you, and endure the race. Finish strong. Encourage others, and be encouraged by them. Amen.